when I have a menopause diagnosis, I can.
I can make some real choices that will affect me for the rest of my life.
This is a Baby Brunch podcast.
A big thanks to everyone that got us here, to Epimax Baby and Junior, our family, and a big thanks to Curaprox. Thanks also to Jacaranda FM, and then to my husband who let us shoot in our house today. We're filming at home in Cape Town, and it's a huge honor to land on this side because I have all my favorite people here, and finally I get to chat to you. Karen, you're a devoted coaching and facilitating lead that helps people in menopause. I have heard of many professions that want to help menopause. More recently, I saw a GP that helped me identify certain things that I needed to know in terms of perimenopause. I have never heard of a menopause coach. What do you do, Karen? Because we are all curious.
What do I do? So I've been coaching for the last 12 years, and I've mainly been coaching women. At the same time, I've been going through what I didn't realize was perimenopause and then into menopause, and having quite a challenging experience. And whilst I was coaching these women, I didn't realize that maybe they were going through the same thing. We often spoke about very common symptoms of menopause, actually, like anxiety, insomnia, weight gain, brain fog, but it was never in relation to menopause.
Right.
And so I, once I'd sort of come through a very tricky period, I delved into the research. I've studied menopause, whether it's, you know, to do with the whole hormone landscape, nutrition, the kind of exercise. I've looked at the research. I've made sure that everything that informs my coaching and my courses and my retreats is evidence-based. And it's been an amazing learning journey. I mean, I'm a learner. I declare myself a learner over and over again, and I love the learning. So I'm really grateful that at the moment, you know, which I couldn't have done a few years ago, is that I'm able to read medical research papers, retain the information, distill it, and then share it with my clients.
Well, you better start sharing it with us. So as a devoted coach and someone who is studying this topic, I must say, the last time I spoke to you, we were busy chatting about filming this episode. Then so much has happened since then. First of all, I had a chat with some of my listeners. Some of them talked about the fact that as women, we are not informed. We don't know what's happening to our bodies. I spoke to some men. They were like, I'm even too scared to Google. I spoke to a young man only last week, and he said, my wife's going through it. She's afraid to read the support. So I'm doing it. So what he's doing is he is reading the support and then supporting his wife through it. So he's the coach, you know. Since then, I have seen one of my doctors, and I said to her, I think I'm in. And she said, yes, you are. So something is in, you know, chat to Karen, because if you want an onset of menopause, just kidding.
Stay right where you are. First, a thanks to our support. Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life. This podcast is supported by Epimax, the dermatologist-recommended skincare range specifically formulated to hydrate, soothe, and protect. Whether it's dry skin, sensitive skin, or just everyday moisture, Epimax has a solution for everybody. Fragrance-free, hypoallergenic, and suitable for all ages.
How can we normalize the chats around it? Because now, what you don't know, you don't know. You know, you get misdiagnosed.
Mm. Yeah, so that's been going on, and it still continues. Yeah. And unfortunately, the medical fraternity is not necessarily trained in menopause. So most doctors don't get training in menopause at all. And that's not only in South Africa, that's in the world.
How do we change that?
I think it is about, it's about educating women and in general and helping them to advocate for themselves so that they go into a doctor's appointment and they are able to ask the right questions.
Ooh,
okay.
Yes.
Which makes these doctors feel a little uncomfortable sometimes, but I think it's appropriate. You know, if we want to take care of ourselves and we want to thrive for the next 20 to 30 years of our lives, because that's what it is. You know, it's not like you sort of slip into menopause and then come out the other end and everything's fine. It's hormone insufficiency for the rest of your life, which comes with many major health risks. And so I think it's really important that women inform themselves, get themselves a coach, or, you know, whatever it takes, read books, follow well-respected specialists on social media. And then, you know, they should be able to go to any GP and say to them, this is what's going on for me, and this is what I believe we need to do going forward.
So it's quite interesting. I mean, I've been through it, so I don't mind sharing and talking about my journey as much as you are open to sharing yours. Before I went to go and see my GP to get a diagnosis, I did a little bit of research. So I said to myself, I'm going to see a dietitian. Because when we get to our GPs, often we are told lifestyle, you know, we need to make lifestyle. What does that even mean? You know, I don't drink excessively. I run almost 18 kilometers a week. I'm active. I sleep sometimes. But, so what does a lifestyle change even mean? So by the time I got to my GP, I've seen a dietitian for the past 6 months. I'm exercising. I made a list of some of the things that I think is happening around me. I could tell my mood changed and that I'm a little bit irritated sometimes, more than what I should be. Never with the children, but oh boy, my poor husband. Thank goodness he's not here. But yeah, he got a lot, okay? And I knew something was up the one day when there was the piring op die tafel, there was a saucer on the table. And then when he misstepped, I could feel how I wanted to just throw it at him. And I was like, so maybe I need to stop researching and just go see my GP. And that's when I went. And by then I'd already done the blood tests. Before I go to my healthcare professional in order to tell them the story that I think I'm in menopause or might not be, maybe I'm not sure, what do I need to know about myself before I go to any person that might diagnose or point me in the right direction?
So women need to know that perimenopause can start in your early 30s, okay? It can sometimes even start earlier than that, and that it can last for up to 10 to 15 years. And then also to know that blood tests are not necessarily reliable in that period because your hormones are fluctuating so much. It's really important for women to know that, to understand what the symptoms are associated with perimenopause, menopause, and then to keep a diary, you know, to keep a journal of what's going on for them. So physically, emotionally, and even in their language, you know, often women start forgetting words, etc., because major brain changes are going on.
Right.
So it's really important for them to educate themselves, understand the period that happens before menopause, which is perimenopause, and then to keep a journal of the changes that are occurring for them.
So I love what you're saying and the changes. Just quickly, I mean, how many symptoms are there of perimenopause and menopause?
So there are over 90 symptoms that have been documented.
How on earth? With 90 symptoms, well, I know. I mean, that's just like, I am woman. Yeah. I have all the symptoms, right? I might have 5 of the 90.
Yeah. So, I mean, the most common ones are, you know, that women talk about are hot flashes.
Right.
And unfortunately, most women think that that's what it's all about. But it's not. You know, insomnia is a major symptom.
Can I put my hand up?
Yeah. Anxiety, depression. Often women are being misdiagnosed and being given antidepressants. And it's actually about the hormonal changes. You know, hormones play a major role in terms of mood.
When I spoke to you the last time, we talked about how menopause is forever. And so there's a part of me that just wants to sit with unfairness, you know? So we go through PMS and our first period, and then our body grows and it's all wonderful. And then we have our babies and postpartum depression and this podcast, you know, that supports so many people. And then I almost feel like you have your late 20s and your 30s to enjoy your babies. And before you know it, perimenopause knocks on your door, and then menopause. And then it feels like, again, there's something that we need to deal with. Mm. If I was your client coming to you wanting advice and support, what would be the first thing that you would say to me as a coach? Because it just feels like a lot.
Mm. So the first thing I would ask you, and you've shared a little bit, I think, is, you know, what is the story you tell yourself about menopause?
Right.
And often women, they do feel that it's unfair and that it's challenging, and they've heard that it's so hard, and quite frankly, they'd rather not talk about it, you know. And I think that's really important to look at, because it can also come with possibility. If you want to navigate this in a healthy, productive way, what mood is going to be the most helpful? And essentially, it comes to acceptance, you know. And once we can get to a place of acceptance, we can move into a bit of curiosity, a bit of wonder. And that's where the learning comes in. You know, are we also, you know, sort of figuring out how open am I to learning? You know, because often there are things that get in the way of our learning. So that's where we would start in a coaching session.
It's so interesting, because I chatted to my listeners about menopause knowing that I'm going to see you. And it actually related to a conversation that started in Women's Month, where one of our DJs said, what's the one thing that women would want, you know? And some people were talking about dresses, and others were talking about jewelry and diamonds. And I said, well, I wish there was one symptom that would say, ah, you are it. You are now in perimenopause, you know? Like your nipple would swell up or something, and you'd be like, oh, this is the sign, you know, that I'm in menopause or that I'm in perimenopause. And some of my listeners, they're so brave. They started talking about some of the symptoms, and I could see that some of the ladies had a sense of humor about it and others didn't. It was extremely tough to talk about, but they shared it with me in confidence, and I'm bringing it to you now. So if it's the mood that I choose, give us some advice. How do we get to a place where we find acceptance with what is happening to our bodies? You know, when we're pregnant, I loved being pregnant so much that I would do it again and then keep the baby, because they're just so cute. But when it comes to menopause, it's at this stage, especially in our conversation, I don't really see any positives other than the fact that it's hot and I'm picking up weight and to run is slower, you know, and that we're aging and that our skin is drooping.
Yeah, so I mean, it can be challenging, and certainly I've really experienced quite a challenging, traumatic experience.
Tell me about it, because it helps someone to say, you know what, if my mood is like this, I want to feel like that.
So what I realize now is that I was probably perimenopausal the first time I met you, which was in 2004.
Right.
And I, you know, eventually left corporate because I was burnt out. That was what I thought was going on for me,
right.
Which I probably was, but that can be a symptom of perimenopause, fatigue, chronic fatigue. And so I was definitely perimenopausal, although I didn't know it,
right.
And intuitively knew that I wanted to, when I left corporate, get healthy, change my lifestyle, start exercising, etc. I got into weight training. I was training 5 times a week. I was eating really well. I was really fit. And then my brother died. And literally within 6 months of that, I could sense there was something going on. Yes, I was in grief. And I knew I needed to experience that grief and sit with it and move through it. But I also knew there was these changes going on in my body, and I wasn't sleeping. I was fatigued. I was the healthiest I'd ever been, but I literally couldn't get out of bed. And I went to my doctor of 22 years who said I was clinically depressed. Mm. Something in me said no.
Okay.
And we did bloods, and I was postmenopausal.
Wow.
So I then went on a journey of working with functional medicine doctor, managing mostly the chronic fatigue, the lack of sleep, etc. But I was in this space of, I want to do everything naturally, whatever that means. So I sort of go naturally with inverted commas, because I've realized something different now. But I was pushing through. I didn't want to go on hormone replacement therapy. I don't know why. No one ever said to me, this is not good for you, or it's not safe, or whatever. Clearly, there was some narrative that I was,
I think there still is.
Yeah.
I think there still is a narrative around many things. I'm sorry for the loss of your brother. How did you get to a point where you said, okay, well, I need to take differently care of myself and try something?
Well, it got progressively worse. My symptoms got progressively worse. And it was in 2023, literally, where I was doing everything I could to get myself out of this dark place. The mood was very, very dark. And I couldn't get there. I eventually landed up going on hormone replacement therapy, not the right regime for me at the time, but it got me through the worst.
Right.
And then when I started doing my research and I got onto the right regime, it was like the piece of the missing puzzle.
Yeah.
It was suddenly there was color. The lights were switched on. And suddenly I could retain information. I could read research papers. I was like, what on earth have I been doing? And what I've realized is that the hormone replacement therapy that we talk about now is absolutely safe.
Right.
It is body identical. If you look at the hormone replacement therapy under a microscope, molecularly, it looks exactly the same as your own hormones. And that, to me, is natural.
Right.
That's what I've realized. It's the best thing I could have done for myself. Mm. Yes, there are lots of changes that one needs to make in terms of lifestyle. There is evidence to show that certain diets work really well, or nutrition works really well for menopausal women. Particular kind of exercise works, so not so much running anymore or cardiovascular. It's about lifting heavy. Mm. And also, I think what's really important is managing stress.
So, okay, I want to talk about stress. This is a menopause podcast. If you just tuned in because you're a gentleman leaning over your wife's shoulder, we're talking menopause and Karen Nebo sharing. And I mean, I got you in here as a coach, but it's enlightening hearing your own story. You know, we never know what anyone is going through. Mm. And it's so wonderful that you share, because I can learn from you and so can many other people, because our journeys are so different. What role does stress play in menopause? I mean, I'll tell you something. So what I do know is that stress brings on a lot of stuff, and you might be really, really healthy. And then if there's stress or a lot of concern or even trauma, it just brings on a lot of stuff.
Sure.
Is stress one of the factors that could bring on menopause sooner?
Absolutely. Yeah. So trauma can definitely bring on menopause early. And high chronic stress levels will definitely bring on menopause early. So the important thing to realize is that chronic stress can deplete your progesterone. And so then that imbalance starts happening. So even in women who are in perimenopause or even pre-menopause, the idea that cortisol literally comes first before your progesterone, because that's what progesterone favors, is a problem. I mean, that's what infertility is about, you know, is also the high levels of stress. And what we, you know, the thing is that we are not, how can I say, you know, it's all very well to say, oh, you know, you need to find a restorative practice and learn how to meditate. And you can do all of those things. But in this day and age, we are constantly being perturbed. I mean, just driving in traffic is stressful. You know, being on our screens all the time activates the stress hormone. You know, not getting into staying in a circadian rhythm where you wake up when the sun comes up and you go to sleep when the sun goes down. We have artificial light around us. That perturbs the nervous system as well. So it really is important, yes, to have a restorative practice. Spending time in nature is a free way of lowering your cortisol levels.
There was a time that I enjoyed exercise so much, as soon as last year, where I would weight train, and then by the evening, I would run 8 kilometers. And my body was just going, no. I don't want you to do this. You're training way too hard. And I was like, but I've got the energy. I'm not sick. I'm not. And I realized that I couldn't sleep. And I remember there was a week where I thought, I'm just going to stretch, you know, I'm just going to do a bit of stretching. That's it. I was sulking a little bit. And I only did stretching. And that week I managed to sleep. And my body just said that what you're doing is just too much. How long do we stay in a routine in order to do the survey on self, in order to know that I'm really going through something?
I'd say 3 months at least.
Okay.
Yeah, that's when you should start to either notice a difference or, you know, a good difference, or find out that it's not really working for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
While you are menopause coaching, what's encouraging for me is that there's men in the audience.
Yeah, so that's been also very encouraging to see. And I think that particularly, so for me, I've spent quite a lot of time doing talks with other coaches and sharing with them. And it's kind of gaining momentum, and, you know, the men are still in the minority. But what they've realized is that it's really important, if they're going to be coaching women, they need to understand what menopause is about. So that's been really encouraging. And then also, you know, having women come to a talk with their husbands has been really helpful. And, you know, I've had men say to me, wow, I didn't understand, you know, and I really need to educate myself and support my wife, you know.
I want this for the men, and I'm going to ask a question which, you know, I really hope that it's received in the right way. If there are men listening to this conversation, or they're watching this video, right, and they can't confide in the woman in their life at the moment because she's going through the toughest, okay? She's trying to figure out to navigate, is it menopause, is it not? She's not realizing her symptoms. Where can they turn to in order to understand this better? I mean, what do you Google? What do you look for? If I'm a guy and I need to understand menopause, where do I go?
They can come to me. So, yeah, I think it's important to either read books, or, you know, they could come to a coach. I run a menopause coaching, well, not coaching, but menopause education course, which is it's very intensive. But I'm also open to distilling that to, you know, 1 hour talks, two-hour talks where we can have either mixed audiences. I mean, I did a talk last week and the woman was saying to me, you know, how do I explain to my husband? And I said, well, why didn't you bring him with you, you know? And she didn't think that that was an option.
So we draw them in. We bring them in the conversation. Mm-hmm. If I go to my practitioner, do I take my partner with me?
It would be a really good idea, yeah, for him to understand what's actually going on, yeah.
Do you think men would have, let's just call it patience, more patience with women if they understand what we're going through?
One would hope so. And I think it does take, at the end of the day, it comes back to self-awareness, you know, really, for the woman and the male in the relationship. And then, you know, through the self-awareness comes education and the openness to learning.
So, explain self-awareness. What does self-awareness look like?
So for me, that's about becoming really aware of the three, what I would call the three domains of human existence, which are language, which includes listening. So how do I language myself? How do I listen to not only others, but to myself? So there's also the self-talk. And then moods and emotions. That's the second domain. What moods and emotions are we living in? What are helpful moods and what are limiting moods? And how do we manage those? And then body, the nervous system. That's where change really happens. So learning about the body, becoming aware of on a daily basis, what's occurring for me in my language? What's occurring for me in my listening? What's occurring for me in my body? And where do I find myself in terms of mood? So that's sort of the beginning of learning how to observe differently and become more self-aware.
So then essentially, what is menopause?
Menopause is the cessation of menstrual periods after 300, so you'd have to not have periods for 365 days. Menopause is one day.
One day of what?
One day of not having a period for 365 days. So you don't have that period for 365 days. 366th day, you are postmenopausal for the rest of your life.
At what age typically could someone be in perimenopause or in menopause?
So the average age for menopause would be around 50, 51. It can happen much earlier than that. And perimenopause typically starts sort of 45, but again, it could start in your early 30s.
What are some of the most common symptoms that we deal with when we think of perimenopause and menopause?
Some of the most common symptoms: hot flushes, anxiety, low mood, brain fog, heart palpitations, dry skin, dry eyes, dry vagina, irritable bladder, frequent urination. The list is endless, actually.
How can these symptoms affect our everyday life or performance or even confidence? I'm thinking of your confidence. If you need to be at work, how does confidence affect us if we're in menopause?
So there is this decline in confidence, and it's usually due to the decline in testosterone in women. And also you know, we have testosterone in our brains, we have estrogen in the brain, we have progesterone in the brain, and there's quite a lot of change happening in the brain. So it can lead to lack of confidence. And certainly when women start experiencing brain fog and suddenly start thinking, oh, I'm starting to develop dementia or something, they lose their confidence. So it really is important for them to find support.
If we're in the workplace, what can we do to help each other, to support each other? And I'm saying this to our male colleagues and even to other female colleagues who feel like they've found their it. You know, they've got their stuff together, and there's some of us that are still going through it and trying to figure it out.
I think it's really important that we start talking about menopause in the workplace. women need to feel included. They need to feel that it's okay to talk about it, to say, you know what, time out. I'm really having a really bad hot flush. I need to go and take a break, or my anxiety's up. I need to be able to talk to, they need to be able to talk to their managers. We need to create environments for conversation, but also environments that feel comfortable for them. We need to create menopause policies. I mean, we now have in the UK, they have menopause policies in corporates. You have to have one. The same as you would have a maternity leave policy. We should be looking at that in South Africa in terms of menopause, you know.
Would you say that menopause gave you an opportunity?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What I've learned in my experience is that there is no light without the dark. And so I've taken my challenging experiences, I've learned from them, and I've created opportunity out of them. And I think that's exciting, you know, to be able to do that.
Yeah. Thank you for the work that you do.
This podcast is supported by Epimax, the dermatologist recommended skincare range specifically formulated to hydrate, soothe, and protect. Whether it's dry skin, sensitive skin, or just everyday moisture, Epimax has a solution for everybody. Fragrance-free, hypoallergenic, and suitable for all ages. Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life.